Radio.
This episode contains depictions of drug use and mild violence.
Most of my job comes down to first impressions. A little intimidation. The questions, the digging, the hand dirtying, that always comes later. When I arrived at Atlas, I arrived as a symbol. For decorum's sake, I slipped a black wool cap over my cranial tattoos. I hid my neck with a scarf. Calm, collected, evened out by the basilisk drug, I strolled out into the Gladius cargo bay. Two landsfolk security guards in gray and navy awaited me just inside the loading door. Their comm units were strapped to their chests, police style, UDEX logos on their shoulders. One of them brandished a squid gun. The other scrolled the menu items on his comm unit's holo display. He didn't even look up.
Sinov Pan?
Sure.
Ambassador credentials. Do I need to ask you about firearms, or did they do that on the other end?
I just have knives. A bunch of knives.
An ambassador with knives? She's a company merc.
Jax, according to her name tag. I ignored her look of contempt and nodded at the blunt-nosed weapon in her hands, or, more specifically, at the tape-masked sensor mounted on top of it. Nice squid gun.
Yeah, well, welcome to the bottom.
Squid guns are everywhere, and I wasn't surprised to see one on Atlas. They fire specially designed lumps of meta gel. When it hits, it wraps around you like a four-armed bolo, glues you right to the floor, the wall, or whatever hapless jerk showed up at the wrong protest. Scan the gel with the side of the gun and it melts off. It's the most popular compliance weapon on the market, and non-lethal, provided you don't fire it at someone's face. That's where the cranium recognition scanner comes in. Tape up the CRS, and you're either a psycho or someone who wants the reputation. I wasn't entirely sure which category she fell into yet, but I suspected the latter. I'd seen what happens when a squid hits someone in the face, usually with enough force to blacken both eyes, maybe break the nose. It wraps itself around the head, even pours into the mouth. That's when the clawing starts. The basilisk took the sting out of the memory for me, but it still gave me pause.
Director Hoffman says he can meet with you now or at 1500. That work? Your choice. I think he also has some time tomorrow.
I'm kind of on a schedule. Let's do it now.
This way, Ambassador.
As they led me out of the subbay, we ventured down the first of many compact hallways, through hatches that would auto-seal in the event of a breach. They'd assembled the station out of pre-constructed modules like a space station. Tubes and wires trailed through the hallway, pinned neatly to the ceiling. They occasionally snaked away into maintenance conduits, but mostly remained open and serviceable. It felt more like a trek through the bowels of some giant, parasite-ridden behemoth than a human habitat. There were no viewing portholes, of course. With some 300 atmospheres of pressure outside the hull, windows were an extravagance. So was space itself. The earliest deep-sea explorers squeezed into beach-ball-sized steel capsules for a reason. More legroom would have required thicker structure. Engineering has come a long way since the 1930s, but industrial design, like evolution itself, is a miser. Keep it small, keep it cheap. The guards led me through cramped hallways, past doorways to chambers and offices no bigger than bathroom stalls. Mobility aids would make life difficult here. We passed other uniformed UDEX employees, probably landsfolk. They walked almost hand in hand, conversed as closely as lovers in a park. Personal space was probably the first concept to die down here. So I was surprised when we emerged into a much larger module. As it opened up around us, the ceiling seemed vaulted, like the roof of some unfinished deep-sea basilica. But I quickly realized the space consisted of several large, convergent spherical chambers. Stalls and merch stands filled the space, all of it packed so tightly that members of the crowd frequently squeezed past and around each other like insects in a neon hive. They bought coffee from an automated booth. They stood in line to update their comm units with the latest virus-free dose of news and celebrity schadenfreude. They gobbled clam rolls from foil pouches and conversed in tight clusters around shared holo displays. It was all the usual surface world crap, only stuffed into a tighter package. Less air circulation amid the mingled aromas of beer, ramen, and sweat. We moved through the swarm. I had to dial down my reflexes the first time someone squeezed past me, but I'm a professional. Out of the corner of my eye, I noted two recombined women in dark wetsuits. They were both bald, except for tattoos of octopods and squid arms, dolphins and spills of phytoplankton. I noted the lines of neck frills above the high collars of their suits, the slight ridges that protruded from their skulls. The one on the left blinked at me with her secondary transparent eyelids. We passed by one of those franchise joints where you wear VR goggles in a massage chair, and a cramped bar called the Barrel Eye. I was gazing at its weird neon fish sign when a bottle of piss exploded on the steel wall behind us.
Hey! Freeze, jackass!
Oh, crap! It's all over me!
Jax didn't waste any time. She fired off a squid as the piss thrower shoved his way through the crowd. She missed, of course. The projectile crashed through the side of a sausage stand and wrapped itself around a pair of hanging skillets. But I marked the guy. I gave in to the urge. You know, first impressions. I leapt over the nearest kneeling bystander, then used the counter as a springboard. My landing brought down two other bystanders in the process, but I kept the guy in my sights. Another wet-suited worker dodged me, and I followed the piss thrower into a narrow kebab shack, thick with the aroma of grilled shrimp. I planted a knee to the square of the assailant's back and sent him sprawling, knocking three more customers into the flimsy prefab walls of the joint. The piss thrower scrambled to his feet. He was recombined, but more to the point, he was clearly wasted. He eyed me drunkenly and reached into his wool-lined jacket. I wouldn't. But he did. He drew a diver's knife. I don't think he'd thought any further than that. I can tell when someone's comfortable leveling a blade at another human being, and this guy didn't have it. He acted out of fear, casting about for his next move. I didn't give him the chance. I hit him with a basic jujitsu knife defense, a downward forearm strike to his knife arm, then I locked the limb, twisted it, and spun him down. I cranked his wrist near the breaking point and pinned the side of his head to the gritted steel floor with my knee. Who were you aiming for? He craned his neck to avoid looking at me, opened his mouth to speak. And that's when Jax answered the question for me. The squid hit the piss thrower square in the belly, knocking the wind out of him and gluing him to the spot. I released the hold and grabbed the dive knife up off the floor.
It's the tank for you, pal. You're lucky she got you before I did.
I scanned the bystanders. Five of them crammed in behind us. Two of them flinched and looked away.
Some sort of UDEX goon.
We needed another one down here.
Oh, was that Dave?
Oh, she has the
marks.
Don't look at them.
I heard about them before. Apathis.
You might want to cover that thing up.
I checked my cap and realized it had slipped up during the scuffle. I pulled it back down into place.
Don't want to antagonize the locals.
Return to the golden age of seaside family vacations in Utah. Enjoy breathtaking sandy beaches, sip a delightful and culturally appropriate tiki drink, and zone out to the crashing waves. This is the ocean your grandparents dreamed of, recreated in America's heartland and finely tuned to revitalize the human spirit. Inland Ocean Theme Park has it all. Whether you're looking for a long walk in the surf, adrenaline-pumping water sports, or old-fashioned family fun. For the kids, we offer 24/7 care, gentle adventure pools, and special appearances by all your favorite marine children's characters.
Salty Squid!
Well, watch out, Billy. I think I'm gonna sneeze.
Thanks, me.
Inland Ocean Theme Park. Take back the ocean of your dreams. Reserve your holiday dates today.
Do you suffer from bouts of depression, anxiety, panic attacks, intrusive thoughts? If you're an active or former military service person in sound physical health, then you may be eligible to participate in a UDEX-funded study and treatment plan. Ask your doctor about Apathis. Take the first step toward building a better you and a safer world.
What would Vale have made of that little encounter? It probably wasn't her idea of shared culture, but it certainly filled in some of the blanks for me. Maybe a recombined person was better off here than your average coastal region, but they still had to put up with the same sort of crap. Jax scanned and melted the squid, then left her partner to cuff the guy. The bystanders didn't quite disperse. I imagine it took more than a minor scuffle to clear out a public area in this place. But landsfolk and recombined alike averted their eyes from us as we exited the kebab shack. They whispered, no doubt, about the woman with the elder sign tattoos. Jax led on, not saying another word on the matter. We took a twisting side tunnel out of the bazaar and weaved our way through the bowels of Atlas once more, squeezing past recombined divers suited for deep grid work, landsfolk workers tending to internal matters. After all, we can't collapse our lungs and equalize pressure with the deep. Here, we're the weirdos. We arrived at a sealed door labeled Atrium.
Hoffman's in there. Probably doing yoga or something. Oh, and let me have Dave's knife.
You know his name?
Yeah. Everyone knows Dave.
She hit a switch and the circular door rolled off into the side of the wall, opening up on yet another of Atlas's surprises. I stepped inside, onto a cobblestone path that snaked through a large circular garden. The domed ceiling overhead glowed with soft, pleasing light. The ferns and bushes glistened with beaded moisture. Moss grew thick on ornamental stones and water trickled through a rocky stream. The occasional tree reached for artificial sky, but most of the vegetation stopped at waist height. It was clearly another large sphere, half filled with soil and transformed into a terrarium space. It was empty, save the iron statue at its center, Jesus of Nazareth. A pane of water moved beneath the statue's feet and cascaded over the edges of the pedestal to create the effect. I heard a voice from the ground behind it.
Yeah, gotcha. I thought that was in 20 minutes. I'm in the middle of Shavasana right now.
Ken Hoffman. He sat up and peeked over a hedge. I walked closer and saw the mat underneath him, a thermos and yoga block by his side. His face flashed a look of disappointment before shifting into the smiley, glad hand expression I expected. He rose to his feet, a tall man dressed in starched white pants and a matching kurta. He extended his hand.
Ah, Sanov Pan. Ken Hoffman, Director of Operations here on Atlas. You caught me finishing up a little yoga. Great way to maintain a little right brain dominance. Plus, you gotta keep moving down here or the place will get to you.
Yeah, it's all so cramped.
Yeah. I know what it looks like. The boss seals himself up in a spacious garden while everyone else works. But no, this is a public space most of the time. 5 occupant max to maintain the chill. I just book it for a couple of hours most mornings. Can I get you a water? A coffee?
Someone just splashed piss on me, so I'm good.
Oh.
He stared off into space for a second, clearly listening to an inner ear feed from his comm unit. Then he met my eyes again.
Oh. I see. Well, you know, people are gonna throw bottles of piss from time to time. You know that with your background. At least it was piss. Am I right?
Seems old Dave had an issue with your head of security.
Interim head of security. And yes, I'm well aware of the personnel issues involved. But really, it's hardly indicative of the general vibe around here. The flare-ups are always going to happen. You hope that they happen, at least in manageably small doses. But let's have a seat and discuss what you're really here for.
He led me to a pair of opposing benches by the Christ statue and took one for himself. He pulled out a comm unit, activated a holographic display, and scrolled through several files, as if he really had to check.
You're here about Peter Buchlin, son of UDEX Euro's Frederick Buchlin. We filed a full report on that weeks ago.
I don't think they were happy with that report.
Well, obviously, if they sent one of you down here... I didn't think they had any Apathos agents to spare.
The Buchlin name carries a lot of weight.
That it does. Plus, Peter's a bit of a firebrand. You've heard his talks? Deep sea biotics? Hydrothermal energy? Could shake a lot of things up around here.
Did you meet him?
No. Look, it's all in the report. He arrived here in March on a VIP sub with the rest of the VIPs. We logged him, he disembarked, maybe had a drink, saw the sights, and then we have him boarding again an hour later.
The manifest says he never reboarded.
VIP subs are intentionally discreet. They don't have video footage, but we do.
He swiped his fingers through the air and swiveled the holographic display around to show me. A lone, jumpsuited guy with sandy blonde hair scanned his comm unit and vanished through a docking porthole.
Charismatic guy. Bright future. Look, we're not happy about it either. I maintain a careful balance. The last thing I want is increased drama on Atlas. I'm already wrestling with a possible Mariner's Guild strike, tech problems, and sporadic vent activity. I don't dispute the sub's data, but if he's down here, we'd know.
You keep tabs on everyone?
All personnel.
The Tritons and Nereids, too?
Well... That's a different matter. They have embassy status.
And I have ambassador credentials. When can I meet with them?
I figured that's why they sent you. You really think the Triton stole the guy away? Kidnapped him to hold one over UDEX? The Tritons already have the upper hand, if you hadn't noticed. They didn't want Buchlin. They just wanted his genes, the same as the rest of the VIP passengers.
It was all a part of the larger Triton genetics program, their end of the deal with UDEX. The Deep opened up unreachable oil reserves, placated the environmentalists with vague hopes of deep thermal, but in return, we agreed to the gene-sharing program. We needed workers who could thrive in the Deep, so we let the Tritons augment those workers, infusing them with the genetic changes they'd need. But they required something from our genes as well. They continually requested certain attributes, Even particular individuals and bloodlines, often relatives of key Eudex brass. And they were not content with a tissue swab. Their art required in-person summons to the deep. Thus, the specially designed subs for their VIP passengers, each outfitted with every earthly luxury. Whatever it took to ensure these fortunate sons and daughters of the Second Oil Age fulfilled their end of the blood bargain.
Or perhaps you think it was suicide.
It wouldn't be without precedence.
You're still left searching for a body.
There are a lot of ways to lose a body. Subs aren't the only way in and out. Who speaks for the Tritons down here?
Asia Marsh, one of the encapsulated. Old-school interspecies communicator. She's perfectly reasonable, really, but I almost never meet with her directly. You know why? Because she's always accompanied.
Nereids?
Yeah, two of them. They venture out among the general population sometimes, which keeps me up at night, believe me. If you meet with Marsh, and she will insist upon an in-person meeting for something like this, she's going to have them in tow. They will try to influence you. They're going to put all that precious apathous conditioning to the test. And if you start flashing a bunch of elder sign tattoos around...
You don't think I can withstand
them. I don't know what you can do. But it takes a lot of work to keep things running around here. A lot of finesse.
Like taped CRS units? Is that finesse?
Yeah, actually it is. You want a balanced cocktail, you've got to mix the bitter with the sweet. And that's what I like here. Balance... caution, inhale, exhale. Obviously, I'll arrange the meeting if you insist on it, but you've got to promise me you'll keep things level-headed. I've already asked Marsh about Buchlin's whereabouts, and she flat out told me they don't know. Again, it's all in the report.
Who's lying? You or her?
I think we're done here. I transferred your lodging details to your comm via secure connection. Get some sleep. Get cleaned up. Talk to some locals. And if you still want your meeting with Asia Marsh, I can arrange it for tomorrow. But I'll sleep a lot easier if you give me that promise. No, seriously. I need to hear you say it.
I promise.
Good.
He smiled, but I saw the worry in his eyes. It made sense. He didn't want to rock the boat, or unbalance his cocktail, whatever the metaphor. But it was too late. They'd sent me, and I was going to get answers. The Christ statue's a nice touch.
Oh yeah, well, he walked on water. Some of the recombined, the Christians anyway. They say he walked under the water, did you know that? They depict the spear wound as a gill slit.
I finally noticed the inscription on the base of the statue, the words blurred by tendrils of cascading water. A new covenant.
The Second Oil Age was produced by Robert Lamb, Alex Williams, Lauren Vogelbaum, and Josh Thane.
This episode featured Anjo Masters as Sinov Pan, Robin Bloodworth as Kin Hoffman, Annie Reese as Jax, and Jonathan Strickland as Salty Squid. Supporting voice work by Jed Drummond, Nicholas Dukoski, Gina Rakiki, Eden Brown, and Ben Bolin. Intro, outro, and supporting music created by The Weirding Module. Learn more at module1485.bandcamp.com.
Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.